Very interesting topic about authority. One thing kept coming back into my mind of my observation over the years in businesses and churches, church leadership in businesses, in governments, people that talked and had love for their people, for others, gentleness, calmness, kindness, steadfastness. They seemed to be humble and meek like Moses. It seemed to me those flourished, and woe unto those that do not help them. Jesus said the authority he had there when he was tempted, it is written. When you are tempted with something, whatever it may be, and you don't know it's not right, and you say, it is written, quote the scripture, quote the verses or words, it's amazing what that does. God is tremendously blessed with his holy word. I wanted to start in with Peter, just the introduction, salutation. Simeon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that he hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Think on those promises as we go through this morning's hour of what is on my mind. It won't be pleasant if things go like I was preparing. It'll be some hard gulps to take in some cases, but we want to end up too, hopefully, with Jesus as our King. There's one thing through this morning's Bible session that came to me, and I thought to myself, oh my goodness, some of these people, they can really express themselves in words, come out with absolute truth. And I found myself in a trap. And that trap was comparing myself with others. And the Bible is so distinctly clear. Those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. That's for all of us. So I left with that. I want to dwell on Romans 1 and Galatians 5. I didn't do my duty too well in preparing, as I tried to put in action. Therefore, I might be stumbling a few times. But Romans 1, we'll start at verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Because that when they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God. Praise him, glorify him, thank him for who he is. Neither were thankful, but because became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. People out, well, let's say people who do not want God, who do not care about God, they live for self day by day and entertain themselves in whatever self comes to, is what he was explaining here. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto the affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It is easy to think, just listening, oh, we're not involved, But the Bible has it in three different places, these type of sins. And we need to deal with them. And here we come back to our Bible study authority and what Jesus said when he was tempted. It is written. What can we do? It is written. And we need to judge ourselves. No one else can properly do that unless he has tremendous tenderness, gentleness, love. There's only one word there, maliciousness, that I wrote down, or backbiters. Maliciousness, malice, extreme disposition to injure is what that means. And backbiters, one who slanders, calumniates, or speaks ill of the absent. It is for the struggling soul that is trying to do what is right. He's encountered with some of these as well as the professing Christian, and the difference is the Christian that is striving to do what Christ wants him to do will pray and do as Jesus did. It is written, and simply be free in Christ, like Ron was so wanting to explain and promote it. I do too, that John 6 is a very soothing scripture. And you shall be free, and free indeed. And haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. I don't think there's anyone here that can't, in some shape or form, think back in his own life, and we do not want to dwell on those things. If we came to Christ, he made us free. But those that do not know Jesus, there's somewhere in the Revelations where it says, come, come, come. Jesus said, come. And I strongly encourage you to talk with him daily. Trust him as a child. Trust his parents. As Jesus said, unless we become as little children, we cannot enter the kingdom. Another place it says, it is not an easy road. It is a narrow way. Another, somewhere else it says, there's not one righteous soul on earth. No, not one. In Hebrews somewhere, I think. And in Galatians 5 is much a similar pattern. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Another whole list. And I had to think of that song in the process. And I looked it up, and I chose I chose to speak up before, and it is, "Come ye sinners, poor and needy. Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. He is able, he is able, he is willing, doubt no more." When I read that verse, "doubt no more," I had to think of that centurion too this morning. He came to Jesus, like Ron said. He had people that he was authority over. And he trusted Jesus fully. He was even worthy that he should come under his roof to heal his servant, his slave, I think it was. And Jesus marveled over that faith, that trust in a God, in a power that created earth, heaven, stars, moon, everything. And like Leon said, that was a very interesting little illustration. I'd love to hear more about it, about the way those distinct movements of the galaxies indicate what's happening here on this earth. Doubt no more. He is able. He is able. He is willing. Doubt no more. And the next verse, 2. "Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream." Tremendous words there. The conscience is telling you something's not right. Something, I long to be right. I long to have peace. "Nor of fitness fondly to dream." Then you dream of being fit. Well, I want to be fit. The dreams go like that. But that will not carry through. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. Isn't that so true? We need to feel the need of Jesus, our Savior, our Savior. And in Galatians 5, we'll read that too, because I didn't have the specific words. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, ravelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Not me that's telling all this. I'm reading it as it is here. But the fruit of the Spirit is what also brings leadership to, or authority, what also brings authority: meekness, temperance. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There is no law that I must love you. There is no law that I must be kind. It's Jesus, it's God that puts that in man. And when you think of those that are in prison, persecuted, tortured, blood pulled from them, killed, and they do it for Christ, they plead for his power, his mercy, I can well see Jesus will take them into his kingdom with joy. God has no love on the death of the wicked. God does not rejoice on the death of the wicked, but he rejoices when he can call his, when he calls his own home. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let us not be desirous of vain glory. Any glory here on earth is vain unless we can do it for God's glory and his honor. As was mentioned this morning, and I thought that was very appropriate, if we put a plea in to authority for the sake of others, it has power, but if we do it for our own glory, there's nothing there. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I find that huge. In a fault or by some transgression, the sin in view is a deliberate overstepping of divine boundaries. Ye which are spiritual refers to those who walk by the Spirit, in whose life the fruit of the Spirit is found. The man who is overtaken by willful sin is also a Christian, but he has not been walking by the Spirit. The spiritual brethren are to restore the erring brother. This word is used of mending fishing nets and of people mending their ways. Restore means, therefore, to bring a person back to his former moral condition. The word was also used in secular Greek for setting broken bones, which has to be done gently, kindly. There's one thing I learned as a child, and I did it to my children occasionally, and it is specifically important to do it to a child that is hard to love, for an elder when he has someone in the audience that's hard to love. That was when I was 15, struggling through life, trying to separate things, and felt very unworthy and backward, rejected. That was always a struggle for me. And I came home different times, Monday mornings, and my mother sincerely said, "How do you keep your clothes so clean?" I never forgot it. Two things happened. She praised me, and she really meant it. That is the whole key to those things. Mean it. We can all say beautiful things, and if it's just to flatter, it'll just go with the wind. There'll be nothing there. But the fact that I remembered this 60 years later tells me there was some deep-rooted, necessary thing. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. It is so true. Experience in life has told me that again and again. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. In verse 2 it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The burden of some of these sins that so daily bombard mankind. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But in verse 5 it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. It is a fact of life. We have to bear our own struggles, our own battles with sin. But we can help each other at the same time. Just encouragement, a word of encouragement now and then. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The vast difference in those two phrases. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There's many things in the Bible. Well, right here in Galatians 5, the sins and the blessings that come with the fruit of the Spirit. There's many things. Opposites. Same as hell, where everything burns and the fire reproduces its own and keeps on burning forever and ever and ever. And in heaven, there's nothing of that sort. Not a shadow, It's a glory that in Revelation 21 there, it's resounding to read that, those promises that is expected once Jesus comes for his own. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Then it goes on to say about Paul how he glories in the cross. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, born again. Kindness, meekness, gentleness, merciful, willing to help, willing to work for others. And that point, the fingers are all pointing back to me. There's no difference. We're all in that same struggle. And having read those things about that are so continuously bombarding mankind, I love John's writings, the vine and the branches. Jesus said this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I tend to think that it means the different things that mankind is so bombarded with daily. They have to cut them off, things that are not right, cut them off, say no, reject them, the sins, the wrongs. And that's his purging. And God is fully in control all the time. He sees it. He knows what's going on. He knows the hearts of the people, the beings, the desires, the motives. He knows the motives that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. Jesus said, abide in him, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, in Christ. No more can ye except ye abide in Christ. Tremendous promises. Jesus again said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. That puts us in a Jesus help us state. The only way we can carry on. Jesus, whoever, and he's continually saying, come, come. There is tremendous power if we but tap into it. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That verse has brought many a ye shall ask what ye will. Well, my translation or my explanation would be, and what the Bible wants to bring out, the Bible wants to bring people to Christ in whatever actions, whatever forms. And that's, if we ask but anything that the Bible asks of us to do, it will be rewarded. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Here comes faith into the category too. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. This was Jesus speaking, remember. It's not me. It's when I read about I want to make clear it's not me. It's Jesus. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There was a man that was doomed to be hanged, to be killed by authorities, and he was granted one more request. He was asked if there's something he'd like. He was granted to do it. He said, yes, there's one thing. He'd like to go and see his friend. And he went and talked to his friend, and he asked his friend if he would take his place. They debated and they deliberated, and he said he would. I don't know if they looked alike or what, but anyhow, he went and took his place. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, this is what this was meant. He was referring to himself, Christ, as the Savior. But this story fits in so well. He went and they killed him because he wanted to die for his friend. Is that the love we have? I'm asking. So ask yourself. If I ask myself, and then I have some homework to do too. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Jesus speaking here. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Jesus has chosen you, is what he is saying, and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And there's a last song we sang. The love of Jesus to me is greater than anything else I've ever known. It reaches deeper than any sin stain. It reaches higher than heaven's throne. The love of God is more to me than all the world could ever be. What words. Those type of songs, they go deep into my heart, and I'm sure every one of you can say the same. It brought the Savior from heaven's glory to give his life for a world of sin. The God of heaven, he condescended to prove to you that he is your friend. Jesus came here on this earth and died on the cross, cruel cross. So whosoever believes on him shall be saved. It giveth comfort to those in sorrow. It bringeth peace to a troubled soul. The love of Jesus goes in the byways to seek the sin-sick and make them whole. Heavenly Father, I come before you and ask and plead for thy mercies and thy love for the people here. They are struggling the same as you know I am. Give them peace. Give those that are rejected by other people assurance that you will not reject them. There is no circumstance in all the congregation that you do not understand. You understand everything, and you want them all in whatever form of struggle they are in to come to you and fully trust you as a little child trusts their parents. You said in your holy word, unless we become as a little child, we cannot enter the kingdom. Help us to give us, we plead, that childish trust. I thank you for the blessed people that you have given gifts of deep insight and deep analysis of words. They have their place, their properness. But Father, let all the glory and honor come to you. We as people we want to be your children. Bless each heart as they go about their duties this week, that they love and talk with thee. For we have many children looking up to us. I plead that they would all enter into thy kingdom. In Jesus' precious name, amen.